Happy 3rd of July, almost 4th of July. So, since it's 4th of July, I thought I would do something appropriate to the season. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about freedom. And if you will take a moment and pray with me, and we'll get started. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you that the saints will come together to study your word and that your Holy Spirit is upon us as we each individually dig deeper into your word and to have our eyes of understanding opened. We pray, Lord, that you give us guidance and wisdom. We pray that you show grace to those who are traveling over the holidays, safety especially, and health. And Lord, we are just thankful for the freedom that you've provided. We thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you will turn with me to a well-known verse, John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. And so it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage." We be Abraham's seed. Wow. Those Jews that were there sound like they're from New York or Chicago. I'm not sure. "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How say you, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin." So he was telling them that they were in bondage to sin. "And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." His word being truth, as opposed to what they were teaching, which was more religion than it was truth. And the Greek word there has to do with delivering from ceremonial or any type of mortal liability to make one free. It's the Greek word eleuthero, and it means to liberate. So let's take a look at a couple of other examples and start in the Old Testament. Let's go to Leviticus 19:20. Leviticus 19:20 says, "And whosoever lies carnally with a woman that is a bond maid," in other words, she's enslaved, "betrothed to a husband and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him." So this freedom here was freedom from slavery. And previously we talked about the slavery to sin, or the servant to sin. And now we have a bond made that she could be given freedom, but in this case, she had not had freedom yet. She had not been redeemed. So let's go to the Old Testament, or to the New Testament again, and let's take a look at chapter 22 of Acts, Acts 22, verse 28. And this is an interesting passage because it gives us a little bit of understanding of who Paul was and how important it was for the Lord to select someone like Paul to take on this role. Acts 22:28. "Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea, and the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him." So if you know the story, Paul was being attacked basically by a Jewish mob for his beliefs, for the things that he had said. And so the Roman captain thought he was a dissident, captured him, put him in chains, and was about to scourge him when Paul told the guard, "Is it allowed to be scourged without a trial, for I'm a Roman?" And so that freaked everybody out. So now the person who had captured him was worried, and so he's saying, "Look, I spent a lot of money to get this freedom. And the freedom here has to do with a citizenship in Rome. And as a citizen, you were free, and therefore if your parent was a Roman, then you were free born. You didn't pay for it, you didn't earn it, they were free born." And so Paul says, you know, "I obtained this freedom, I obtained this citizenship." But then he goes on to say, "I was free born." Free born is a derivative of the word we looked at earlier. It's euluthier, and it has to do, again, with liberty, and it has to do with not being a slave, not being enslaved. And yet we know that they were enslaved. So there's several words there. Thank you, Tony. That's a great job. Look at all that. Now, see, you don't have to do the study. You just have to take a picture of the screen here, and Tony's given it all to you. So let's move on. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Psalms 51. One of my favorite psalm of all time. It is absolutely heartrending at times as you read David talking here. But in Psalms 51, verses 9 through 12, he says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Now, he's saying this after having sinned with Bathsheba and being caught by Nathan, the prophet, who came to him and said, you know, "Hey, you're the bad guy here, and you just condemned a person to death for doing what you have done, and so own up to it." And he says, "Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now think about this. David has seen what happened to Saul, who was the first king. And the Holy Spirit was taken from him because, one, he sinned. Two, he took the authority away from the priest and the prophet at the time and did sacrifice. But three, he went to a medium, a spirit diviner, and had them prophesy what was going to happen in the future. And so the Lord took away the Holy Spirit from him. David, having sinned now, is asking, "Do not do to me what you did to Saul. Do not cast me from your presence. Do not take thy Holy Spirit from me." But then he goes on to say, "Uphold me with thy free spirit." This free spirit in the Hebrew has to do with capacity, something that's completely voluntary. It's to be magnanimous and liberal and very noble and very willing-hearted. So it's a free spirit. It's not based on any obligation. In Isaiah 58:6, it says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke?" So you've got heavy burdens, and oppression, and wickedness that they are going to go free from. And again, this word has to do with bondage. It has to do with complete liberty. Jump to Romans. I'm going to read quite a few verses here, starting in verse 12 of chapter 5, Romans 5:12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." So the law is what defined what sin looked like. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as an offense, so as is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so it is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So this free gift, which is grace, completely wiped out everything of sin. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by righteousness of one, by the righteousness of one, the gift, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's obedience, many were made, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So it's this free gift, this gratuity, this endowment, this miraculously free gift that we are free, therefore, from death, free from death. Not free from sin at this point, but free from death. And the Greek word that's used here is charisma, and it is, again, as defined here that you see on the screen, the free gift. Let's go further down in Romans chapter 6, verse 18 through 23. Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, so we're free from death and sin here, ye became the servants of righteousness. So we were servants to sin, now we're servants to righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, this is the word Lutero, and it has to do with deliver or to make free. Moving forward, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. We're looking at pretty much the same word here. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. So we have bondage versus freedom here, contrasted. We have Jew versus Gentile contrasted. We have this free gift to drink unto one Spirit. Galatians 5, I'm going to read 1 through 7. And I'm sure most of you have heard this verse before. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Which yoke of bondage? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, okay, now we're talking about the bondage of circumcision, which is the law. Previously we were in bondage to sin, we were in bondage to death, and now we have bondage to circumcision. That if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, in other words, freed by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait by the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And so this word liberty in verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ made us free, we see that it is the same derivative of the same eleuthero, and it has to do with freedom. Move on to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified or freed from all things from which ye could not be justified or freed by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that you come upon you, which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So again, we've got this freedom from the law because the law was fulfilled by Christ. Now it's a different word for freedom here, Tony has just posted it there. And so we have this innocence or this justification, this freedom due to righteousness. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. And here's a well-known verse, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we are justified freely by his grace. So the word freely here is a different word. It has to do with out cause, gratuitously, and freely. It is therefore saying that the grace that we're given is free, and we are justified or released from any debt based on this redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's take a look then at our dispensation and spend some time there with the time we have remaining. And we're moving at a good click here because I know everybody wants to get done early and get preparing for all those fireworks. In the dispensation of grace, what are we free from? Ephesians 2. Verses 14 through 16. And you're not going to see the word free or freedom here, but as you think about what we've just looked at, that Paul has talked about in Romans, in Acts, that Luke spoke of, who was Paul's partner, as you look at Galatians, etc., you see that the things that we're free from. Here Paul reiterates some of those things, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Having abolished is to have freed us from the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that you might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So we've seen that enmity before, and that enmity has to do with the sin that was in the world, and therefore there was a barrier between God and man, which needed a mediator, and the law delivered by Moses wasn't sufficient because no man could do the whole law. Couldn't hardly do most of any of it, as a matter of fact. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Ephesians 6, 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, that would be of the bond, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So we receive from the Lord, regardless of our status in life, bond or free, slave or freeborn. And there's an admonition here that masters, you know, you better behave yourself because we're giving you this free gift and you should appreciate it and you should respect and appreciate others as well. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Now think about this. Where's the freedom in this verse? Well, we had these ordinances that we were slaves to. These laws, these commandments that was against us. And now we're free from it because he took it out of the way. And he was triumphant over principalities and powers, but also over death. And so that we owe to Christ. It's 2 verses 19 through 20. Therefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances? So he's basically admonishing them, saying, why are you going back to these when you've been freed from? That's like saying, okay, you've been set free as a slave, go live your life, and you say, no, I want to be whipped and chains and I want to be a slave and not paid and not appreciated. He goes on to say, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. These were traditions that were created by men, not necessarily commandments just that Moses provided. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. And so we are free from all of these ordinances. Staying in Colossians, let's go to chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Colossians 3, 8 through 11. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So we've got bonder here giving us a contrast. Jew versus Greek, circumcision versus uncircumcision. We are freed from all of these ordinances, etc., these distinguishing things that make us Jew or Gentile. But this starts off by talking about putting off the old man. We are free from the old man with his deeds. Now, it's by grace that those deeds in the past are forgiven, but we have a choice every day to be free from the old man by putting on the new man, or by continuing to wear the old clothes of the old man. And the Greek word you can see there from Tony again is the same word we've been talking about previously. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, or freed, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So this word, dikaio, which is to render innocent or to be free and to have been justified. And so that's why they use the word justify here instead of freed in the spirit, but they could have used that either way. Last verse we'll look at, and then I'm going to take you into a couple of other quick things. Titus 3:3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, this free gift, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So let's think about that. You know, it is, we were serving, we were bond servants, if you will. We were slaves to lust and pleasures and malice and envy and hateful and hating each other, etc. But we are now free from that if we choose to put on the new man. We are saved by his mercy, by the washing of regeneration. And where does that come from? The renewing of the Holy Ghost. Where does that come from? From reading his word on a regular basis, preferably daily, preferably hourly for some of us. And therefore, we're justified by his grace. And by doing that, there's a reward. We are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So what are we free from? We are free from sin, from slavery, from the law, from ordinances, from rituals, from the traditions of men, from eternal death, from, well, what else? What else are we free from that we've been just talking about? Think about that. If you've got some other ideas of what we're free from, just stick them in the text box there let us know. But what are we not free from yet? And as we've looked at these verses, some things stick out. We're not free from the old nature. And because of that, we're not free from pain and suffering. We can be persecuted for our beliefs, and that persecution might be a spiritual battle. It may be from principalities and powers that we do not see. Are we under attack? Could we be? That's possible. We will see death. That doesn't mean that that death will be eternal. It means that when you die, you won't die. You will be alive again through Christ. We are still in bondage to our sins if we choose to be in bondage to those sins as opposed to choosing the new nature. And it goes on, as we said, living in malice and envy and hateful, etc. We're not free from the lust of this world. It's part of our old nature. It's part of our sin nature. But we can be free from it if we choose to put on the new nature and if we choose to focus on things above, not on things of this earth. And that's the problem of those who fell with Lucifer. They focused on the things of this earth and saw that they were pleasurable, and their position was compromised as a result of that. So this is 2018. We received our freedom as a country in 1776, and yet we hear a lot of fake news. That is the popular term today. And what's interesting here about John 8:31 is it is the truth that'll make you free. It is not fake news. The message of salvation, the message of Christ, is not fake news. It is the truth. And he is God in the flesh. And he is a creator. And we are thankful for that. Think of the things that our founding fathers stood for. And ask yourself, are those here today? Are those things still something that we can grab hold of? And we have some who are fighting for those ideals, fighting to give us this freedom. And we have those who are fighting to take them away. And it is pretty disturbing to see some of the things that are going on. And I just want to read you a couple of quotes, and I realize these are not biblical quotes, but I just want you to think about these for a little bit. When it comes time for elections, to think about what's guiding this country. So here's the first quote. Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. This is from Thomas Jefferson. Another, to be the kindly influence of Christianity, we owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness which mankind now enjoys. Whenever the pillars of Christianity shall be overthrown, our present republican forms of government and all blessings which flow from them must fall with them. This is Jedediah Morris, I believe one of the founding fathers that signed the Declaration of Independence. This is from the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. The Bible is the best of all books. Wow, I wonder if they think that today. We have an open seat. I wonder if that person will believe this. The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the Word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and to regulate your life by its precepts. Isn't that pretty pointed? Again, John Jay, first Chief Justice. Two more. This one's from the House Judiciary Committee, 1854. At the time of the adoption of the Constitution and the amendments, the universal sentiment was that Christianity should be encouraged. In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. That was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expect it to remain the religion of their descendants. House Judiciary Committee, March 27th, 1854. And I'll leave this one last verse, quote. It's one that's famous, and I'm sure you'll recognize it, but maybe not all of it. Maybe you only remember the last part. It says, "An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. Sir, we are not weak if we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature hath placed in our power. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give Patrick Henry." This 4th of July, let's think about those who have gone before us, those founding fathers who gave us this freedom that we can worship, that we can teach the word, because it's the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And there is no freedom in a country where Christianity is not allowed, and we're getting to that point where other religions have more freedoms than we are because we've discriminated against them for so long. Well, that's just fake news, and I'm going to stick with the truth because it'll make you free.